for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio. My name is Nikki Paranormal, and I'm just one of the people who you know, my half of the joint. Here's the guy who owns the other half out there.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm just a guy.
Hi.
Just
guy
a guy.
Who owns the other half of the joint that I don't own.
The nameless guy.
What do you want to be? What do you want to be then?
I'll come. Give me. I have 7 full days to think of it.
I doubt I want to know the answer.
I'll come up with an amazing title, an amazing intro, an amazing intro music,
mm-hmm.
which I know you want anyway. It's funny, every time we talk, we're like, all right, we're gonna go with a new intro. We're gonna take some requests or people who might have advice or they might have want to do them for us, and then we just drop the ball. And every time I hear that intro, I'm thinking, wow, I'm surprised I really thought that was cool. At one time. And
yeah, because he repeats himself and he totally is just the most annoying thing I've ever heard.
I don't know. By the end of it, I'm like, I'm ready to join in on the fun. And I think without that little join in on the fun, then it kind of perks you up, gets you really ready to go.
Really? Because for me, it does exactly the opposite. In fact, it actually enrages me when I hear that intro.
Okay, so I guess if anyone's listening, they want to send us a demo of something they might have, make sure to omit join the fun.
Or repeating yourself. It all happens here. It all happens here. Ooh, like I didn't understand the first time you said it.
It's a stressor. It's stressing that it
okay,
all
well, you can stress
here.
Something, okay, without having to repeat yourself. It just bothers me. Hence why I said, boy, I hope that the old intro's not playing.
Well, it's not specifically paranormal, but what is paranormal? You know, and I guess that's something that with our current run of consecutive shows, we've had a lot of different guests on, and we've kind of gotten different interpretations of paranormal throughout the past, three, 4 months. And
well, it's a multifaceted spectrum, and I mean, we haven't just been doing this for 3 or 4 months. We've been doing this for years, you know, and been on air together for years, but we've been doing this for years and years. What is the paranormal? What is it?
The unexplained phenomena that occurs on a daily basis. Well, the thing is, you never know what's paranormal. And that's the thing, I'm sitting here in the Live Paranormal Studio, Ohio Live Paranormal Studio, and there's things that happen that might be paranormal that I might not even be aware of, or there could be something sitting right next to me talking and making the speaker just sound funny. You never know. It's
or it could be someone screaming in my house that I don't hear, but it picks up on air.
And we do have to replay that, so it's kind of, there's a lot of things that we can rehash and kind of just talk about maybe parts that we missed over the past couple episodes, or over the past, I don't know how long. There's so many things that I've questions on even after our shows. And even our last show, I was like, I had more questions. And I think that's the fun part about it. There's no clear cut. Answers. I mean, there are some clear-cut answers. Well, wow, that's effed up. Or wow, that's crazy. That would be pretty clear-cut. I just watched something move, or I just did this or heard this. But outside of that, there's no clear-cut answers. And I think that's the the thing that I enjoy the most about the paranormal is we could even go to the same building 100 times and you never know. You're not going to be like, oh, this is going to happen again. It's a really a new investigation and a new experience every time you walk into a place.
Mm-hmm. I agree, because if it was something that you could walk in the door, I mean, there are some people within this field who are rather pompous, and they're like, oh, well, because I'm here, it's all going to happen, right? And they're like, oh, that's happening because I'm here, which really irritates the hell out of me, because as you said, it's the unknown. You know, we could go, and this is really the truth. So here's the truth behind all this, is that you can go, like you said, to a place 100 times, 1,000 times, and you can conduct your investigation, and you could go about, you know, even the order that you do it in. And even just going through using the same equipment, going in the same order, asking the same questions, almost like Groundhog Day, the investigations, okay? And you could have a different outcome each and every time. You might not have anything happen. You know?
Well, and I think we have a prime example of that. At the location that we host a lot of events at, we work at, I have a spirit that I communicate with. It's of a child, and it's funny.
Why don't you give them a shameless plug? Go ahead and give them a shameless plug.
Oh, I don't have a shameless plug.
I do. That would be the Historic Farnsworth House in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, which currently has lots of specials on rooms. And we're going to have an amazing Valentine's Day special we're going to announce shortly. You can check all that out on farnsworthhousein.com. But anyway, go ahead.
That was a much better shameless plug than I would have had.
I know.
So
that's why
I'm glad you took over on that one. But here's a good example. Here's an example that I find that came to the top of my head. So there's a child in the attic who I've conversed with.
I talked about this today.
Okay, well, I didn't know that. So maybe you can enhance the part that you talked about after I'm done with my part. You sometimes say that, you know, it kind of angers you because the child will only speak to me. I don't know if that's accurate or not.
It's kind of irritating. Doesn't talk to me, okay?
So I have gotten some of the best EVPs and some of the best stuff come through the ghost box through this specific child and on multiple occasions. So, you know, this going back to the fact that, hey, people might believe that you can get the same stuff all the time, which we don't think is true. So we hosted a big group event. There was, I think, 20, 25 people at that night's investigation. And, you know, I'm given the rundown. Oh, there's the child here.
You built it up the way I described it earlier.
Yeah, well, child only talks to me. You're sitting there. You do your thing. We're like, I'm angry. You know, it makes me angry because it only talks to him. You know, we give it the whole rundown. We really build up the anticipation. And so we have about, I think there was over 20 people. I mean, that was a packed one. That might have been 25. And we go in. All right, we're all ready to talk to the little kid. We sit down and start running the ghost box.
And let me just interrupt. Okay, let me interrupt. Okay, so everyone is in the mindset, okay? Well, no, we're going to set the stage. Okay, everyone is in the mindset. Like, he has really, really built it up. I've reiterated, you know, just how much I find it kind of annoying because no matter what, I could literally give this kid, like, you know, back when Toys R Us was in business, like, the whole damn store, and the kid's like, you know, Mickey who? No thanks. Won't even give me that much, okay? But he's built it up. I mean, built it up. And everyone comes into this area, which would be the garret of the Farnsworth House, with the anticipation that they, like, they've got their questions in their mind. They're thinking pure innocence, a child. Okay. They're just excited to talk to this ghost kid. Okay, go ahead, Rob.
Well, we run the ghost box. We start running the ghost box. And it's funny because I think the part that when I tell the story and we often leave out is I had, you know, mentioned about one of the ways I communicated with the child was through a REM pod. And, you know, I brought the REM pod up, and that's how I got my first response was, hey, I brought a REM pod. So the response that I had got was I took a REM pod up, and I put the REM pod down. And, you know, it went over what a REM pod does and said it's okay for you to touch it. And the child comes through, thanks, Daddy, which was insane. And there's more, you know, to that. And, you know, we'll get to that in a second. But so we're up there talking to all these people. I'm building it up. I'm talking about the REM pod. We put the REM pod down. And, of course, the REM pod gets a couple hits. So it's even going better. You know, people are really pumped up because the REM pod's going off. So it's almost like it's building. It's not just building anticipation; it's verifying what we're talking about. So now it comes up to, all right, now we're gonna put the ghost box on. This is the same ghost box that we ran the night we got to the first time we communicated with the little kid. Put the ghost box on, and the response was the furthest thing from a little kid when we asked, "Is the kid there?" Do you remember what the response was?
You're a freak.
You're a freak. And then
one
you
of
had
them.
Asked again. Yes. And then the second response was even better and more drastic. You said, is this the little kid? And the response to, now, are we, if I swear, are we going to have to mark this? Or should I just not swear and kind of?
At some point or another, I'm going to swear. So just go for it.
Okay. So, you know, everyone's sitting there. And the best part about this is, like, we're in front of 25 people. And what is that room's dimensions? Like 8 by 14 or something like that, 8 by 16 maybe. And everyone's in a bench. So they're right on top of us. And, you know, we asked this little kid there, and the response was, eat shit, to the ghost box. In a dark, like, deep voice, eat shit.
It was like, eat shit.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You know,
clearly not a child, and no child should speak with that language anyway, right? But this was totally not a kid. This was like, eat shit from the depths of hell. Now go ahead.
So the look on everyone's face, and probably the look on my face, and I know the look on your face was like, wow, that's not going where we thought we were going with it. And the best
and
part
then I busted out laughing. But go ahead.
The gasping. I thought, like, like, you don't usually hear, you know, like, gasping is like someone like, oh, and then everyone gasped. It actually happened. I was like, oh. they don't know if they were just shocked or appalled or what the deal was. But when we got the eat shit comment, the people were, you could hear, like, the whole room. The only response was like a collective gasp. It was the most bizarre, in part of the investigation, due to the fact of the way I had built it up, which was really my fault. I probably should not have built it up in that manner because I don't even know why I did. I think that there was maybe some questions asking about it. We were really building it up. I think this is my favorite part. And just the drastic difference of what we got compared to what we were shooting for is a prime
and
example.
And what we have previously had happen. You know, just because we had it happen, and we did have that happen with the daddy, you know, reference on multiple occasions.
Right.
But just when you think you know something in the paranormal, and you can almost bet on it, it will turn around and tell you to eat shit.
Well, and the fact of the matter was we were doing a public investigation. So there were some, there wasn't little kids there, but there were some families there. And so, like, I decided to go with the more family appropriate, you know, they weren't hardcore investigators, you know, of stuff that we've gotten there. So that was kind of like my thought process on it. Oh, this is, you know, it's the small public event, where a lot of people who are not seasoned investigators go on. So let's just roll this. And, man, it was a complete opposite.
Yeah, and of course I bust out laughing after the gas. I bust out laughing and I go, it looks like your other biggest fans here, which would be the gentleman perhaps who called you an asshole like 24 times that one evening in the tavern. It's almost like he homed in that you were on the premises and decided to blast you some more or something. Well, but the kid definitely was like hiding and like probably joining me in that busting out laughing thing, because the kid was probably like, I'm not saying a word. Okay. And then the guy was like, eat shit, you know. Funny.
The kid came through previously during group investigation, the public investigations, mm-hmm. and one time that you weren't there for, and we actually captured it, but we didn't actually physically capture it because I didn't get the recording of it. But the kid, you know, I was like, are you here tonight? And the kid said, uh-huh. And it was in the same kid's voice. So I do believe, mm-hmm. when you made reference to another individual or spirit that particularly didn't care for me. So mm-hmm. there are, I believe there are spirits that will remember you. They will, you know, pick on a singular person. But I find it hard to believe that when a particular person walks in, then, you know, all hell is going to break loose, or all the spirits are going to come run and talk to them. You know, there could be, for whatever reason, just like you gravitate to somebody in life. You know,
well, just like we said, though. You know, not every time that you've been there that you've had either the guy tell you to eat shit, nor every time have you gone there have you had the child reference you as daddy. Have you had the child reference you as daddy on multiple occasions? Yes. But you can't just go in the door and go, well, that's going to happen.
Daddy's home.
Here.
Yeah, daddy's
right.
home.
It ain't going to happen.
That, first of
it's
all,
like we
that
said,
would be super
if you think
weird.
You know something, right. But if you think you know something in this field, and you know, no matter what we're talking about, it's like it will turn around and bite you in the ass almost on purpose. Because this is the unknown. And it's like it gave you that bitch slap, you know, of slap, this is the unknown. Don't assume, you know?
I do know, and it's as if I just said it, so... No, like we have the same mindset, so that makes it perfect when we do our radio shows, because we don't really have an opposing mindset. But when you know, you reference the fact that people do walk in and they think, oh, they're going to get this or they're going to get that, I'm equally as appalled, because I don't see that as factual. And I base that on thousands of nights of investigating, not just like,
mm-hmm.
A theory. You know, so
right.
There could be something that you think will happen, but you just never know. And that's
right.
And so getting back to our original point of why I enjoy the paranormal is because I it's something new every single time. And it's to the point where it's even more like, you know, I'm a big sports fanatic, but and when you come to sports, there are things that you can probably count on. You know, you can count on, hey, my team stinks this year, you're not going to win. You know, or hey, we're great, we should win. Or in the paranormal, you know, it's really just all up in the air.
Right.
So it's constantly keeping you guessing. And that's why, you know, I don't mind going to the same location. Obviously, if I'm going to the same location 50 times, I've never got anything, then I might question myself. But, you know, if we go to a place 50 times and 35 times we've gotten some great things, and 5 times we've gotten the most amazing things ever, and then 10 times nothing, then, you know, that's fair. And I think the mathematics was correct on that. I was just spitballing numbers, so I'm hoping that averaged 50. But if not, you know, whatever. But I think that's the fun part about the paranormal stuff, is that you just don't know.
Right. It'll always keep us on our toes. And the minute we're not on our toes, it comes around and it gives you a verbal or sometimes physical bitch slap. Fair enough to say.
Well, I think that the other thing to keep in mind is you never know where you're going to find activity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, there's a lot of times that we've gone to locations and we've gotten more activity in the room that they consider the safe room. They're like, oh, we never have anything in this room. Or this is the safe room, you know, where everyone sets up because, you know, for whatever reason. And you might have more stuff happen in that room than anywhere else. Or you go to, I mean, I'm also a firm believer that paranormal stuff happens all day long. So you can walk into an old building and there's paranormal stuff going on, and you're just going along with your daily business. It doesn't have to be one of the top 10 most haunted places in the United States.
Right. This is true.
Because we know when you and I have been to places that have not been paranormal hotspots or even known paranormal locations, either to investigate or just to, you know, walk around or eat or something like that, and we know it's haunted. You know, you know there's stuff happening there.
Right. Mm-hmm. I agree.
So it's that's at least if I'm gonna tell anybody what I'm excited by the paranormal, which actually I had a conversation today about the paranormal, just like you, I guess, had a conversation about the kid ghost. But, you know, I was telling people that I like it because you just never have the same thing.
Right. Very, very true.
But then that leads me to something else that I was working on today. And, you know, I was going to ask you, and I already know your answer, so I'm just gonna, we can discuss it though. You know, and we work with a gentleman, Chris Walsh, who does a lot of research on the building, and or the buildings or the properties or, you know, the surrounding.
Or the former inhabitants of the building, even.
Right, and the thing that, you know, I often debate is if you should know that stuff prior to, use it while you're investigating, or look at it after.
Right. I agree.
And that's something that we don't really ever have a set game plan on what we're going to use that.
Very, very true.
Well, and I think that, like, what's your opinion on it? Do you feel like it's beneficial to have that going into it, or do you think it does taint your perspective, or do you think if you just know a little bit, like, we don't have a clear-cut vision on that, you know, where a lot of people say, oh, I never know ahead of time, or other people say, oh, I research everything ahead of time. It's like, for us, it's like hit or miss. We never go in with, like, a set way.
Well, okay. So if I had it my way, okay, which is like much harder to do in a regular situation, I would much rather go to a location and not know the claims and try to investigate it just based off of, you know, kind of like, which it's again a hard thing to describe, but the feeling that you get in certain areas is so different than others. You know, so to go off of just what you might get by either exploring the entire building, which, you know, is proven depending on the building size to be difficult, or just going off of that, you know, feeling of, yeah, this, I'm drawn to this area for whatever reason, or this feels a little off, I think I kind of want to focus here, and not know anything, okay, which is very, very hard to do, because then getting the opportunity to come back with the knowledge to check it out, you know, that's, if you're talking about somewhere like, let's say, Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum, okay, say I won the friggin' lottery, and I was able to rent the place out to myself, because I don't want to do it with other people, I'd rather do it myself, you know, very,
you
very,
lottery,
very small selective group. Right, but anyway, back to the point, okay, would be to not know anything, but then again, there's the other flaw with this, okay, is that not only is it incredibly expensive to rent out, you know, privately or rent out, period, really, but again, not knowing something about somewhere like Trans-Allegheny, unless you literally are, you know, you don't have cable, you never read a book, you haven't listened to anything on the internet to do with the paranormal, and you're literally just wandering up and, oh, look, there's a place, and you walk into it, the odds of one of those type of, you know, paranormal institutions, if you will, it's you know, from just living, okay, especially if you're living with an interest in this field. It's one of those places that, you know, has been on television. You know, people have investigated, you know, there's lots of information out there on the place. And, you know, that becomes a difficult task in itself to not know anything about the place. You know, furthermore, having the money to then not only rent it out to yourself, to have that experience of not knowing, say I lived under, you know, a rock without any form of contact with anything, okay, and I didn't know anything about it. Having the money to even know that I could go in there, okay, paying that money, investigating blindly, and then going back to the place, again, spending a ton of money with the knowledge of, you know, reported or known activity in certain areas and perhaps certain names that might string, you know, give an interest. And then not only that, but the findings of my own previous investigation, you know, getting that opportunity to do all those things in many, many circumstances is, you know, like a kind of like finding that four-leaf clover or the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, you know. But ideally, I would like to know very, very, very little.
Well, you know what we have done before that I have found, when I actually sit and think about it now, and that's not about in the past too. It's not just like a new thing. But, you know, we have had, you know, I brought up the name Chris Walsh. He came to an investigation with us before, and he did a lot of the research for us. But we didn't. Mm-hmm. He did not disclose the information to us, but he was still on mm-hmm. hand for that, you know, investigation. And I can remember mm-hmm. a particular instance where we got a last name, which we turned out to be a last name. We got a response of a hog. And I was like, "You're a hog." Yeah, that's kind of, well, you know, of course, my mind's thinking, you know, as a derogatory term. But when he did his research, he had realized, you know, he came and found out that hog was the last name of one of the previous owners. You know, so mm-hmm. I almost feel like it would be beneficial to have, like, a third person who was there, be there to verify things, but not exactly tell the other investigators what everything is, because then, you know, you could get your mind tainted. Where if I'm thinking, mm-hmm. oh, there's a hog, I'm going to keep the hog there. Is this hog? Are you a hog? You know, where's hog?
Mm-hmm.
Where if there's someone who knows that name and then it comes up, then they can point it
mm-hmm.
out.
Right.
You know, and I think that might be the best way to attack it, or at least a viable way to attack it, because, you know, then the people who are investigating are not tainted, because that, you know, mm-hmm. we've all been on the investigation where, you know, little Johnny or Billy died, and so everyone's trying to contact little Billy or Johnny and completely oblivious to anything else paranormal that could be happening,
mm-hmm.
if that's the claim of the location. So I think, you know, having someone there who's done the research, but maybe not necessarily has shared all of the research with the investigators, might be an interesting way to attack that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's worked for us before, and not even setting up that kind of arrangement, just the way it unfolded.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I mean, that's you know, that's definitely a nice way to have a compromise, you know. And kind of dive into both sides of that ideal situation, you know, making it into a new one. But, you know, then the question leads to, you get hog through the ghost box, okay? And we don't understand the relevance of it. They didn't, you know, they don't go, my last name is hog. You know,
usually,
and then we look at each other. And then, you know, the person who knows, so we'll just use Chris as the example. So Chris goes, well, as a matter of fact, you know, with his hand up, figure up there, that actually is true. You know, then does that lead us? You know, were we getting just the word hog? You know, and this situation was a little different because we did have more things around that. But say you're at a place and you've got the person who knows, and we'll use our other, you know, go-to one here, which is hot dog, okay? We get hot dogs, okay? And then, you know, we're kind of looking at each other like, hot dogs? You know, and they go, well, as a matter of fact, there is relevance to that because little Billy died by choking on a hot dog. you know, like, you know, then would that lead us to, you know, asking questions because of that information? Whereas if we didn't know anything, we'd be like, hot dog, we'd probably blow it off, right?
Right.
You know, so is that like the spirit world throwing us a bone? And then it's a matter of being able to decipher, you know, which we try to do. We try to get them to, if we get something and we feel that there's, you know, somewhat of an intelligent response, we want them to validate it in some way, shape, or form. By having someone like Chris there, if they said hot dog and it said Billy, you know, well, hey, that makes sense, right? Billy choked to death on a hot dog, or Billy's favorite food was hot dogs, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I just think it could go one of two ways, but I do think that that is a way to kind of have the best of both worlds, as long as it's not just like, you know, because just like the ghost box can lead you on that wild goose chase, you have to have a reliable, basically, I guess, researcher or historian like we have in Chris, where he is able to read between the lines. And I think that's where having an investigator who also, you know, does the research is helpful, because I think that just like the ghost box can lead you on that wild goose chase and you can create a story, I think a historian who's not familiar with paranormal could do that too. You know what I mean? It could lead you.
I believe we came up with a fantastic idea, and I think this might be something we should implement in more of our investigations, because that would give us, you know, obviously there's locations that we go to that we already know everything, or not everything, but we know the bread and butter of what has been given to us, or at least history-wise. I mean, if they had three owners, then we know the three owners, really. You know, we got that down, you know, but you don't know their kids, you know, and there's a lot of times where it might be, hey, this husband and wife owned it, but we don't necessarily know all the kids' names, or the kids, you know, got married and they ended up moving back when they lived at that house for so many years. I mean, there's a lot of research that needs to be done to properly assess it.
I love doing the research when you have the adequate time. And that's why I'd love to, you know, pick Chris's brain as to, you know, methodologies used, because I know when I did the research for, like, my friend Charlotte's case, you know, I mean, I dug deep. And, I mean, it totally, you become almost, and if you don't, then you're probably not doing it right. You become obsessed with getting more and more information on it. And I know I went as far as to create a death log, you know, of people who had died and on within the walls of the location, or died while, you know, being residents at the location, and getting any newspaper articles I could on the details, because it interested me. You know, it was like, wow, you know, and you just kind of want to keep diving deeper and deeper. And, you know, it's kind of when you're doing your own ancestry. If I know if I've done my ancestry right, but I can tell you what, I got them all the way back to the Mayflower, okay, whether or not it's accurate, because I went off the hints on Ancestry, which, again, is that just leading me into some bogus-ass direction? Because it's like, hey, this kind of matches. You know, was that person doing the same thing I was? And goes, cool, they must be. Click. You know, there's having somebody who kind of can wrap their head around maybe the better or right way to do that, I think would be valuable, you know, to have. Especially when it comes to your own ancestry, because it can just be a friggin' circus. But same with some of these places and the twisted family trees that we come across, and the family secrets, and, you know, that come out years and years and years down the road, which sometimes, you know, are validated with our findings. You know, it's twisted, slippery slopes. And when we do, oh my God, I can't believe I just said that.
You did it.
Oh my God. No, I definitely have not become you. Not in any way, shape, or form. But anyway, when you do the research and you know, are using it in the field, you know, that's cool too, and it's a lot of fun. But I do like to go in naive, because I do think the information can lead you.
Well, and I think
like
so
you
too,
said, you go in, Billy died here, and you're looking for Billy. And you could have somebody coming through saying, hey, my name is, you know, Jason. I died here. And you're like, yeah, whatever, Jason. We're trying to talk to Billy. You know, and
Billy,
I've heard it time
Grant
and time
Billy.
Again. On right. They're like, screw who I'm talking for. I'm looking for Billy. I really don't care who else has come through, you know. And you're putting on those blinders to any other information. I mean, they could be like, you know, this is the day I died. You'd be like, that's great, but Billy died in, you know, 71, and I'm looking to talk to Billy. You know, it's just like,
well,
you know.
The thing that I was going to make reference to, that though, the other downside of that is that if you have too much information, because, you know,
right.
I feel like, you know, we do the ghost box.
Oh, no. You know, it bothers me. I can't even believe I said it.
It bothers you so much that you've now stolen it. Sometimes it just flows. You can't help it.
No, it doesn't. It does not flow.
Okay. Well, sometimes
anyway.
You can do the research to an extent that may be not flattering to that investigation. You know, and I'm going to give you an example. And I've seen that if you look at the family tree, and you take, you know, the owners, you break it down to the son, and then the son was married to, you know, this woman, and that woman's parents had, and then that woman's parents, the mom had a niece. Her name was Janet.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in an investigation, and we get Janet come through. You know, is the fact that you've pulled that name, you're going to think, oh, is this Janet so-and-so? Who may have never lived at that location, and let that lead you that way. You know, I think there's no right answer. So that's the one issue you have is like, it's a lot of it is hunch. A lot of it's based on gut feeling. I mean, obviously it would be fantastic if then you say, well, Jana, what year did you die? And she was like 1912, like bingo, you know, 1912 was it, you know? So, you know, I think, I have to question sometimes how far you go back, because I've been on investigations and we've been on tours and stuff, and they're like, well, this is, you know, I think this is the ghost of so-and-so, and so-and-so never lived here. It was the third cousin of, you know, this person. And I can't think of any, you know, natural tie to the building, but because they might have the same name, you know, or a psychic came, you're like, oh, I'm getting a name, Bill. And then you look it up and, you know, five generations down to the right-hand side and six over is a Bill, you know, you automatically tie him in. So, you know, I think there's a lot of times where the research can also then ruin the investigation. But I think the way we had it lined up with Chris Walsh, and he was giving the information, as it came along and he's found relevant, that was kind of an interesting way to have it. I think we should try to do that more.
Definitely.
And now that we've given out that amazing clue, if anyone else does that, let us know that if you do that and
why do you do things
sorry.
Like this?
I don't know. I have a problem. That
you
actually
do.
That
you
time
need
I
to
didn't
get
even,
some
I
help.
Didn't mean to do it that time.
Bullshit. You don't even over enunciated, almost like the intro guy, you know, making it more so.
Gave the second dude
prominent.
But I really that was not intentional. But you know, if anyone does that, then you know, let us know if that works, because I think that is an interesting way to attack that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you know, back and it all leads back to the paranormal and being unknown. You never know what you're gonna get.
Right. Very true.
And there's, you know, and the paranormal is a very broad term. You know, for us, it's ghost hunting, but, you know, there's also every other thing that is unknown that goes along with the term. And we don't necessarily research Bigfoot or research any type of, like, ufology, but it might be interesting. Well, and according to our last guest, you know, it all ties in. So, the ghost hunting and the UFOs and stuff. So that was kind of an interesting interview last week.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. I mean, I'm not opposed to, like, you know, going and looking for Bigfoot or the Chupacabra. As for aliens, you know, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, oh, I think we're the only people here, because I don't think that's fair to the spirit realm. But in addition to that, I don't know. But I can say that it hasn't struck my interest in the way that other forms of the unknown have. That part of that spectrum for me is, it's interesting, you know. But I think it's also kind of got that, maybe this is just in my mind, but I always think of, you know, some person standing outside of some, like, rundown trailer park who's got, like, three teeth, who's saying that, like, you know, they were abducted by aliens and it probed them and brought them back. And I'm like, why would it pick you? You know, kind of deal. And maybe that's just so stereotypical, because I know there's some incredibly wonderful and intelligent and, you know, great people who that we have talked to and, you know, even been at events with, who do not meet that stereotype whatsoever. So maybe that's just in my head. Maybe I don't want to be probed. I don't know. But that's
well,
what
I don't know,
the alien side of it.
That's the part I think that is, like, the downfall for everybody is when, why do they always have to go with the probing? It seems like that's, like, a common term. I think that's where you lose a lot of people, because it's like, I don't want to say silly, but it's kind of one thing you don't necessarily want to think about, you know, so.
Well, not only that, but this is an intelligent life form. You mean to tell me that they haven't come up with some other way by now?
Yeah. Yeah, they're supposed light years in advance of us, but yet they still have to, you know, research.
Basically give you a colonoscopy, you know, like.
Yeah, not necessarily sure that's how that goes. I enjoy the theories. I enjoy looking at people's research when it comes to aliens and the different topics, the different, you know, like I said, the theories. But for me to go and actually produce my own theory, I would not have as strong as an interest as ghost hunting. But to read a established theory or watch a program based around established theory, I'm good with that. You know, and I think sometimes I will even gravitate to watching, you know, if I had to put, like, an alien show up against a ghost hunting show, I most likely would pick
I know,
the
you're
alien
watching
show.
Ancient Aliens every day of the week. I know, I got you.
I did. I watched Ancient Aliens. I watched every episode up until 2000 and beginning of 2015. After that, I've only maybe watched a handful of episodes, but from whatever year it started till 2015, I watched every episode.
Have not. I would say that I would opt to watch that probably over some of the paranormal TV shows that have aired within the last few years, because I'm sorry, and I'm not trying to be rude to any of our past, present, future guests, whatever, but you can only see so many people on this, like, recycled talent. I'm sorry, I'm going to use the term. Like, from one show, ghost, whatever, to blank of a ghost or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can only see them recycled through so many different shows before I'm just like, I just don't care.
I think the reason,
you know, I would like to see some different fresh faces.
Like us.
Yes. Even if it's not us, just some fresh faces and some people who actually have put their time in this field. And I'm not talking about doing some cutesy-ass video on YouTube acting like they think they know what they're doing, but it's really like some fake-ass investigation. I'm talking about people who have put the blood, sweat, and tears into, you know, the paranormal, who have investigated, who have, you know, not part of the Screen Actors Guild, okay? People who have busted their ass trying to do legitimate research. Whether or not their form of research agrees with necessarily my thoughts on research process or not, that doesn't matter. I'm talking about people who put their dues in, okay? That's who I want to see on TV. I don't want to see these put together Screen Actors Guild, you know, people who don't know a damn thing about the paranormal, who are, you know, casted for this and put together as if they work as a team and they've got to put on this facade as if, you know, oh yeah, I've been into this for years. Bullshit. Okay. I'm sorry, it shows. And, you know, it's just not, to me, it takes things away from the paranormal that I can't even begin to express.
Well, my point was more the fact that since I investigate so often, I mean, we investigate all the time. I never put together any kind of theories on aliens. So at least to me, it's something that is nothing that I do on a daily basis. You know, there's not a day that goes by that you and I don't have a paranormal conversation of some sort, even if it's really brief. We'll mm-hmm. talk about it, and you know, so you know, something ghost hunting will cross my mouth every day of my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it comes mm-hmm. to, you know, an ancient alien theory, not so much. You know, so you know, if I'm going to pick something that I basically have an interest in, but not necessarily talk about on a daily basis or have done. You know, I've never been to the pyramids, you know, so if I
mm-hmm.
want to find out more about what their theories are based on, you know, some of the pyramids and were they built by ancient aliens, that would be something that I don't talk about on a daily basis. And so I think it's the fact that it's not redundant where, you know, there's people sitting in the dark and saying, we're asking their questions, I do that, you know. So
mm-hmm.
I guess my thought process on it is something that I don't do that is actually mm-hmm. interests me. And mm-hmm. Like I said, I like watching the shows or hearing about other people's theories, not necessarily creating them myself because I don't have that
right.
knowledge or will put mm-hmm. the time in to gain that knowledge. But you know, hearing someone out based on their years of research, let's do it.
Right. Yeah. Agreed.
You know, I there one that, you know, I comes to mind when it comes to the whole ancient alien theory is how, you know, in the Mayans, the tobacco they used in, I don't want to say embalming, but when they wrapped their mummies, their dead. Also, the same stuff was found in Egypt. There's no logical way that, you know, that process or even the same tobacco would be available. You know, it came from that area that they found in Egypt. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
to me, it's I don't see, and they said there's no way that it would. You know, you could, by the time you would take to, like, get it by boat or, you know, it would not hold. And the fact that they mm-hmm. were able to use it fresh, it just, there's no theory that they could come up with that would support how they got from point A to point B without some sort of, mm-hmm. like, transport system that would be not normally available, thinking about, you know, 25 or 3,500 plus years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which
right.
I found interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that stuff. That stuff's cool. Yeah, and it's something that I don't talk about on a daily basis. But hey, if I can never find my remote and just keep it on binge watch, that's what will happen. And that did
right.
happen.
Mm-hmm. The more you know.
So I don't know. I think that I think there's just so many different topics to go into, and we only have like 10 minutes left. I was
mm-hmm.
going to talk about like the psychics and, you know, all the great psychics we've had on, and, you know, their talents and just the theories behind psychic abilities. But I don't know if we can summarize that in the next 9 minutes.
I don't think we can, but I do want to remember to tell you, there was a girl who came in, who stayed at the Fondor's, I guess it was a little bit ago now. She came in, we talked about the paranormal briefly, and she let me in on the fact that she's a psychic. And she seemed really, really genuine, really cool. And I want to have her on the show at some point. So remind me to talk to you about that.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
You know, I enjoy having psychics on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we've ever had a psychic. We pre-screen them. I don't think, I was going to say we don't like, but it's been a bad interview, but our pre-screening process is pretty in depth.
Right. Definitely.
And then I'm like, hey, what do you think of this person? You're like, yes or no. That's our screening process. So, you know, you're like, eh. You know, and I don't necessarily am the biggest, you know, supporter of all psychics, but it seems like the ones that we've had on, the ones that, you know, we've become friends with, I think that
we've stood behind with the title psychic associated with their name and have used as a resource, you know, for some of our investigations, such as those who have the gift of remote viewing and things of that sort. Now, do I think that everyone who has put the name psychic next to their name and put a public page on Facebook or, you know, have all these their own personal claims to be psychic are psychic? Hell no. Hell no. And I have to say,
I
know some people who have given themselves those titles, and they have, in my, you know, from my experience and time spent, you know, getting to know them and such, have no way, shape, or form ever proven themselves to be so. You know, so maybe we should put, like, maybe this, you know how, like, Facebook has, like, that little whatever, and, like, Instagram has, like, the little symbol, a verified account, you know? We should have, like, OP verified that we, you know, would feel legitimate behind what someone says, you know. Yeah.
It's not a bad idea.
I know.
I mean, people have to take, like, our word for it, but
our own judgment. Now, there's some people who I'm sure would fight me, you know, to the death. That some people who I'm like, they're the only thing psychic with this person is that they can dial the phone to call the psychic network and talk to another not psychic. You know, there's definitely some people like that that would fight me to the death and say that that person was a legitimate psychic and that they were the best ever and blah, blah, blah. Do I think that legitimate psychics have a bad day just like everybody else? You're damn straight. I believe that too. You know, but I like when somebody's genuine and says, hey, you know, I'm not right all the time, but blah, 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 blah. And they actually have, you know, proven to have some legitimacy with something that they might have said or, you know, after many, many conversations actually had what I felt was a legitimate the gift.
Well, and I think when we've actually had people, psychics, call in before, we, or maybe not necessarily called in, but we've talked to, and they're like, yeah, pretty much everything I say is accurate. You know, they just don't know about it yet, is how they address it. And I'm like, wow, that's a little bit over my head. If they say, you know, well, what I said is accurate, it's just that person doesn't know about it yet. But, you know, there's been things that people have said over the years of our show that have blown me away. We've had paranormal investigators come on, and we brought up the topic of being an expert. And we've had a particular person fight us that they were actually an expert. And there can be an expert. And they are an expert. And I was like, well, mm-hmm. well, I guess we'll never have an apparition on again.
And we haven't.
And we have not. No, we're not even friends with them or him anymore. So, mm-hmm. you know, I don't.
And even more so after this episode. But,
yeah.
yeah. But I'm
no
sorry,
level.
You know. Yeah, exactly, because you have to come to terms with the fact that this is the unknown. Like I said, Jasmine, you think you know something's going to bite you in the ass. And if you think you know everything, I'm sorry. Bitch, sit the fuck down, because you don't, okay? None of us do. And we are the first people to admit we don't know everything. We don't.
Well, I actually remember that interview like it was yesterday, because I brought up about not being any experts, and the guy was like, no, I actually believe there are experts, and I am an expert. And I could just imagine, like, your face on the other line on the,
uh-huh.
like, what exactly was happening. Like, if there was twitching or,
there
I don't know.
There was definite twitching and probably a lot of holding back, which probably resorted at a mute. Because it would have been real ugly if that would have been on air. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't. There's no experts mm-hmm. in the unknown. There are people who have, you know, maybe gone on more investigations than other people.
Or perhaps they have more experience in a certain aspect of, you know, the paranormal. Like we're not. We are definitely not the people you go to when it comes to aliens. Okay. You can share it with me, but I am definitely not the person who would be like, totally, definitely an alien experience. You know, that was totally an encounter, blah, blah, blah. Nope. That is not me, okay? You know, it's just
well,
not.
And I believe that.
There are some people within the spectrum that would be the person to go to and talk to about that, you know, but that's not me.
Well, the only thing I can agree with is, let's say, you know, and I know we've done more than 1,000 nights of investigations.
Mm-hmm.
So there may be something that we can walk into an investigation tomorrow and we can be like, oh, and we've said this to each other before, like, oh, that reminds me of this, or, oh, I got a feeling that kind of felt like this time. And you're like, was that same with you? And I would, you know, give mm-hmm. you my answer. So there's been experiences that we can then look back at and use mm-hmm. that to our benefit. But I think that mm-hmm. goes by anyone who's done something, no matter what your genre is, in a hobby or a business or anything you do on a daily basis, is when you have those experiences, mm-hmm. then you can look back at them and use them as a tool. And I know we do
right.
that. There's been more than one times when I'm like, hey, I'm getting that weird feeling kind of like in here or back at that investigation. You're like, oh yeah, I feel that as well. You know, or
mm-hmm.
here's this. Let's try this, because remember that worked then. You know, we don't know,
right.
but we had maybe, you know, we can apply something that we applied on a different investigation that was worthwhile. So that mm-hmm. I think that's what makes us, you know, good seasoned investigators, but not necessarily experts, because we don't know if that's going to work
right.
again. It's just, hey, let's try that because that worked, you know, 7 years ago.
Well, and we're well versed with the equipment, you know, but does that make me a, you know, expert of all types of paranormal equipment? No. Am I well versed with a variety of different types of equipment, how to use them, you know, and perhaps feeling as though I might be, you know, a good person to pick what might be work better and given some certain scenario? Sure. Does that make me like the expert? No. It's kind of niche-y, as is part spectrums of the field. But we are down to like 60 seconds because I got the lady screaming in my ear. So I'd like to thank you all for tuning in to Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio. We will be back again next week, same time, same place, right here on liveparanormal.com.
It would be some shit if we showed up somewhere else.
You never know. I mean, we do have other syndicates, but this is where we'll be tuning, broadcasting out from live at 10:30.
You can catch us now on iHeartRadio, too. So we are now
yes.
syndicated through iHeartRadio.
Yes. Whoop, whoop. All right. Well, thanks, everybody. Have a great week. Hopefully you do something, you know, spooky, haunted, and Awesomely Paranormal. And we will see you guys next week. Take care.
Bye.